What I'm interested in, hear the word of God, hear and understand the word of God. I want them to get it in their spirits. I want you to get it in your spirit. I want this word to work in your life. Amen. Because I'm not up here to waste your time, my time, and certainly not God's time. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, last week I talked to you. I'll get to that. Let me go ahead and give you my subject for today. You are called to greatness. Now, you can make it personal and say, you can just write it up there. I'm called to greatness. Hallelujah. I have been called to greatness. Called to greatness. And that is everybody. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Just yell over at somebody and tell them, say, you are called to greatness. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to begin reading, though, from Romans chapter 1, beginning at the first verse, and we'll just take off from there and go see how long we go. But first verse says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the what? Called. You see that? Read verse 6 again. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. You see that? Called to be saints. To all who are in Rome, all, you know, you can put your city there, your town, where you live. You know, to all that be in Sherrall, we're called to be saints. To all that be in Marvin, you're called to be saints. Waynesboro, you're called to be saints. Rockingham, you're called to be saints. Paisland, you're called to be saints. Chesterfield, you're called to be saints. Ruby, you're called to be saints. Jefferson, you're called to be saints. Angeles, you're called to be saints. Mackbee, you're called to be saints. And Bennettsville. I know. I'm glad y'all love me, and I probably still miss some. So, wherever you're from, you're called to be saints. Hallelujah. How could I forget Bennettsville? Wow. I love you Bennettsville people. Y'all are a blessing. Amen. Even Willie. No, I'm kidding. I knew it. I forgot Wallace. So, but glory be to God. Are you still here?
Amen.
To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been called to greatness. Praise God. Now, I know a lot of folk would disagree with this, and everybody's entitled to their own opinions. But the greatest group of people on this earth are the believers, the Christians. Because Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Salt has that preserving factor about it. It preserves. It keeps things from spoiling. I'm here to tell you, if it wasn't for the Christians, this world would have already collapsed. Folk that don't like Christians need to thank God that Christians are still here. Amen. I mentioned to you where it talks about, you know, that the coming of the Antichrist says he cannot appear until that hinders is taken out of the way. I know some say that's the Holy Spirit, but I believe it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit-filled church. Amen. Glory to God. Because the Holy Spirit will be moving during the tribulation. Y'all do know there are going to be some folks get saved during the tribulation, right? Amen. There's going to be some folks come to God during the tribulation period. And for some, it's going to cost them their lives. Amen. Amen. So don't wait around and just say, well, I'm doing some things that I'm enjoying right now. So if Jesus comes, that's okay. I'll get saved during the tribulation. What in the world make you think if you can't get saved when we're not tribulating so bad that you're going to get saved when it's going to cost you your life? Amen. My advice to you is come to Jesus right now. Amen. Come to Jesus right now. So we understand then that we are called to be saints. Let's look at one other reference. I'm going to move on. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, what? Called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So understand, don't you ever forget this fact. You have been called by God. Why don't you tell yourself that? Come on, say it again. Amen. Now, if you're sitting beside your husband or wife or friend or whatever, just tell them. Say, you've been called by God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you have been called, we have been called into God's kingdom. We have been called to greatness. Now, here's the thing. For a few more minutes, I probably won't finish, but I want to share with you how you can become great in God's kingdom. You hear me? I want to share with you how you can become great in the kingdom of God. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that you want God pleased with your life, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. When you stand before him, don't you want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Amen. I know I do. Glory to God. I want him to say, well done, son.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. But that don't just happen. This, we have to do something. Now, I ministered to you last week before last, and so forth, about one of the key ingredients in becoming great in God's kingdom is humility. Remember, we talked about humility. Humility. We talked about pride, being prideful. Because you have to understand, here's how the devil works. Here's how he works. If he can't keep you back, if he can't hold you back, if he can't hold you back, then he will try to push you into extreme. Are you listening to me? Amen. And we've all met a few Christians that they were just extreme. They kind of out there. So we don't want him to do either one to us. We want to be a balanced Christian. Everybody say a balanced Christian. Balanced Christian. That sticks with God's word, that stays with God's word. So we understand, we learned last week from the book of Isaiah chapter 14 that the devil himself, Satan, Lucifer, we won't go back and read all that, had a high position with God. He had a God-given position, but he was not satisfied with where he was. He was not satisfied. He wanted to be higher. He wanted to be higher. Matter of fact, you might remember, he said, I want to be like the Most High. And I'm here to tell you there is absolutely nobody, and I do mean nobody, that will sit in God's seat but God. You hear me? Absolutely nobody. Hallelujah. So he wanted, and the reason for this is he had lost his humility. The Bible says pride was found in him. He became proud. You know, sometimes, and we'll move on, but let me say this. When God bless you with something, whether it's a spiritual gift, whether it's a spiritual position, a ministry position, or whether it's something material, whatever you do, don't get too proud of it. Don't put it before God. Don't place it ahead of God. Don't think you all that just because God has blessed you or God has gifted you. If you're a great singer, give God the praise for it and sing for his glory. Amen. If you're a great preacher, give God the praise for it and preach for his glory. Amen. Whatever gifting you have, it came from God. Amen. It came from God. Amen. So we don't want to be like Lucifer was. Said, well, now God's got me doing this, and I know I'm good at what I'm doing, and I know I'm doing what he has called me to do, but I sure would like to be doing what brother such and such doing or sister such and such, because let me tell you, they get more attention than I do. I mean, nobody walks up to me and tell me that you're doing a good job, but they always talking about them and what they're doing. Look, God says he is the one that's going to reward us. You hear me? Amen. You know, I'm grateful for all the nice things that have been said about me, have been said to me. I'm grateful. I don't take them lightly. Amen. But I, you know what? I give God the glory, because anything anybody says about me, amen, like I won't call no names, but a brother told me about a half hour, 45 minutes ago, that he want to be like me. And he caught me completely off guard. I wasn't expecting that. But I had to go back to the brother and say, thank you, brother. Thank you, to God be the glory. Because he's seeing Jesus in me. And even the Apostle Paul, what did he say? Follow me as I follow Christ. What he was also saying, now if I detour, don't you detour. You keep on following Christ. It's all right to follow me as long as I'm following Christ. But if I run off in the ditch, you stay on the road. Amen. So I thank God for that brother telling me that. Amen. Praise God. Which means then I've got to have a high standard. If he wants to be like me, I've got to have a high standard. I got to be like Christ. I've got to be able to point him and everybody else to Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I am what I am by the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. Can I get an amen on that? Hallelujah. God cannot use us like he wants to use us when we are on the throne rather than Christ. And I'm talking about on the throne in our own life. Amen. God can't use us the way he wants to use us when we're all about ourselves, our ministry, what we are doing. It's all about me, 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 me. I want to tell you something. We are part of a body. We're part of a body. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest body on earth. You're still here. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, let's go to Romans, back to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want to look at some things that's going to help us become great in God's kingdom. Romans chapter 12. Beginning at verse 1. Listen what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You see that? It's amazing. It's amazing how much liberty God gives us. You ever notice he doesn't make us do anything? He tells us what we are supposed to do and wait for us to do it. Do you know, listen to me, do you know God did not make me come to church? God did not wake me up and say, get yourself up out that bed and get to church. No, he didn't do that. Did God tell any of you to come to church this morning? Now, he might have. He can do that. But you know, you're here because you made a choice. You made a choice to come here. You choose to do whatever you do in your life. Amen. I could leave here today, me and Mama here over here, we could leave here today and go find us a bar somewhere and just get stinking drunk. Just get tore up. Boy, that'd be a sight. But let me tell you something. God won't stop us. But you know what? It's going to cost us. Yeah. It could cost me my ministry. See, that's the reason we have instructions. The Word of God tells us what to do, what we need to do to keep us safe, to keep us in the will of God. So we could go and get tore up, get drunk. You know, it could cost me my ministry. We both could wind up in jail, depending. So it just wouldn't be smart for us to leave here today and go get drunk. Don't y'all agree?
Amen.
That just would not be a smart thing to do. Amen. Just wouldn't be a smart thing to do. So we can do things that's just not smart, but we pay the consequences for it. And God's trying to keep us free.
Amen.
So this is what he says in verse 1. I beseech you, brethren. I beseech. Some folks say that word beseech means beg, but it's strong coercion. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God to present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Now, I have to do that. You have to do that. We have to give God our bodies to be used for his glory.
Amen.
So he said, I beseech you, let me read again. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Everybody say holy.
Holy.
Acceptable. Say acceptable.
Acceptable.
To God. Which is your reasonable service. So don't think you're doing God any favors. We're helping ourselves. When I present my body, notice it says our body, this house we're looking at. When I present my body to God, that benefits me. It benefits me. But listen to this. When I present my body to God, now I'm giving God the authority to tell me what to do with my body and what not to do. But I have to make presentation. I have to do the present. Here I am, Lord. We have to do that because God's not going to make us do anything. Amen. All right, let's move on. So we understand then that we have to do the presenting. Now I want to be great in God's kingdom. Amen. I want to be mightily used by God. So number one, I have to present myself to him. I have to present my body to him to be used by him. And the second thing I must do is get my mind renewed. Look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Amen. Thank God for the two or three amens I heard. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
We present ourselves to God and we make a decision. I do not want to be conformed to this world. I don't want to be like the world. I mean, that's the decision we have to make for ourselves. I do not want to be like the world. I don't want to live like the world. I don't want to party like the world. I don't want to do any of that. because I set myself aside for the service of the Lord. Y'all still here? That's a decision that I have to make. And once I make that decision, then I am to renew my mind through the word of God, change the way I think about some things. Some believers have problems with that. You know, they've had some deep teaching that have passed down from generation to generation that does not line up with the word of God. God is not pleased with that. But because it is a family tradition, or because it's a racial condition, or whatever the case may be, they refuse to release it and surrender it to God. Can I give you a deep revelation? How many could use a deep revelation today? I mean, you just want a deep revelation from God. Amen. Some of you do, the rest of you don't. But you're going to get it anyway. And some of you just know me. But here's the deep revelation I want to give to you. God was here before your mama, before your daddy, before your grandmama, before your granddaddy, before your great-great-granddaddy, before your great-great-grandmama. I know it's not that deep, but it's the truth. What am I saying to you, brothers and sisters? God should always come first. We need to renew the way we think about some things. Let me tell you again. We need to renew the way we think about some things. I made a decision that I'm going to be sold out to the word of God. I'm going to do my best to please God with my life. I'm not in the business of pleasing man. Or pleasing certain organizations for that matter. I must please God. Is there one amen out there somewhere? We must please God. Therefore, we present to him our bodies and be not conformed to the world, but we must renew our minds in God's word. Say, I'm going to change my thinking and I'm going to cause my thinking to line up with what God says. You may not be very popular on earth, but you sure are popular in heaven. Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bless the name of the Lord. Y'all still with me for just a few more minutes? Thank you, Jesus. So it says, present your bodies, verse 1. Verse 2 says, don't conform to this world. Renew your mind. Let's look at verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to do what? Read it. Ooh-wee. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but do what? Think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Brothers and sisters, we got to understand we are part of the same body, that is the body of Christ, but we do not have the same giftings. We don't have the same callings, not necessarily have the same callings. God created us for his pleasure. And there's not one of you in this sanctuary that God created to be me, and he didn't create me to be you. He created you to be you, and that Jesus Christ may be seen through you by way of God's giftings and God's grace upon your life. Now, I want to read this verse to you from the Passion Translation. Listen to it. This is verse 3. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Did y'all grab that, or you want me to read it again?
Yes.
All right, I'll read it again. I'm glad you asked. Hallelujah. This is verse 3 from the Passion Translation. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. In other words, the Apostle Paul was warning them about pride. Don't think more highly of yourself than you are. Okay? I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. I don't want people to think I'm something that I'm not. I don't want people to think I got something I don't have. Because when it comes time to produce, guess what? I can't produce because I don't have it. Amen. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as the standard of measurement. And then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. In other words, we use what God has given us. If my refrigerator is full, I don't need to come over to your house eating your food. Glory be to God. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Isn't God awesome?
Yes.
Oh, my. Man, I'd love to go on with this, but I'm not. I'm getting ready to dismiss you. Praise the name of the Lord. But why am I staying with this so long? Because God is getting his people set to do the work of the ministry. You hear me? Matter of fact, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And you know the reason he said he gave them? For the perfecting of the saints, which means the maturing of the saints, to help the saints find their place in the body of Christ and function there. Well, Pastor, what is my place? Stay with me. Come back next week. Same station, same channel, same time. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Now, don't give me weak amen on that one now. I want to hear you. All right, what about next week?
Amen.
What about up there? I don't want to hear nobody but the ones in the balcony. What about next week?
Amen.
Oh, y'all can do better than that. I'm going to give you one more chance. What about next week?
Amen.
All right, I think some of y'all tried to help them, didn't you? But listen, this is important. We have been called to be great. We've been called to greatness in God's kingdom. We get to serve God. Y'all hear me? Oh, what an honor. What a blessing. We get to serve him. We get to walk with him. We get to minister for him. Praise God. Amen. Did this bless you? Well, give the Lord a shout of praise if it blessed you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God's putting his body in order. Hallelujah. Praise God. He wants us to get rid of everything but what he gave us so that he can use us greatly for his glory. Amen? Amen. Praise God. As we close out this service, I want to speak to those that are watching the live stream. I want to share this with you, and I share it with this congregation here too, and those that are watching. We should all be soul winners. Can I get amen on that? We should all be soul winners. But God has given me a mandate to be a soul winner. Because I had an experience back in 1972 that I'll never forget. And I won't go into the whole vision, but I had a vision. God gave me a vision. And I might go into it another time, but in this vision, I heard the Lord speak. I heard him speak. And I saw some things too, but I heard the Lord speak. And he told me, he said, if you don't tell them, they'll be lost. And so every opportunity that I get, I want to give folk an opportunity to surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you take on that same spirit, having a heart for souls, having a heart for the lost, those that don't know Jesus Christ. And those of you that are watching the live stream right now, if you're not born again, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, I want to let you know he loves you. And he's waiting on you. You're not waiting on him. I want to invite you right now to surrender your life to Christ. Give him, make him Lord of your life. And maybe you are just in a backslidden condition and you need to come back to God. I want to encourage you to come back to him right now.